Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Evolution of a Snake. I am Zach at Reputations with three S's.
Hi, guys. It's me, Madeline, at Swift Chalamet on Twitter, unfortunately, because I can't.
You can go to her yeah. page and celebrate her white boy of the year.
Yeah, but the thing is that he was like the white boy of last year. So I just can't think of a better ad. So I'm just stuck with it. But yes.
At this stage, all of them are taken.
Every single one that has anything to do with Taylor Swift is taken. So there's that.
But yeah, this is our podcast about Taylor Swift. Should we do our, like, background info?
Yeah. Okay. So, should we do, like, oh, this is how I got into the fandom, blah, blah, blah. This is how I discovered Taylor Swift. This is how I got into the fandom. Do you think? Okay.
Yes. That's a good idea.
Okay. So, I discovered Taylor in 2006, the first song that I ever heard was Teardrops on My Guitar, and
she's an OG.
An original bitch from way back in the day. And the funny thing is that I absolutely hated Teardrops on My Guitar the first time I heard it, because I thought I was, like, edgy and alternative when I was, like, 12, 13. I was like, I don't like this, like, country shit. I love hard rock. I love Ashley Simpson and Avril Lavigne.
This isn't doing it for me. I love real music.
Yes. Yep, that was me back in the day. But it grew on me. I didn't know. I didn't understand it because I had never, ever, 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 outside of Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, liked country music before. But I don't know, it just, like, worked. I was like, okay, she's made some points. Of course, I didn't say that in 2006 because we didn't have that slang, but that was the emotion, was that she
and also made some points. No one was saying that Taylor Swift was making points until, like, this year.
What do you mean?
Like, nobody was being nice about Taylor publicly until very recently.
Yeah, I guess like, even within, like, the last couple months, I feel like the public perception has totally shifted.
Oh, the tides have turned.
But you know they're just gonna flip-flop back. I mean,
for sure, if she does the Super Bowl, then we're all
see, I believe in my heart of hearts that she will never do the fucking Super Bowl. She's too smart.
She cannot fucking do that performance.
There's no fucking way.
I think maybe 1989 Taylor would have done it, but Reputation Taylor, with all of her experiences, would just not do that.
But herself. I mean, coming into the new era, who knows what, you know, TS7 Taylor is going to fucking do, because I couldn't have predicted Reputation in a million years.
That's true, but we always get everything wrong.
That's true.
I don't know why we even bother, like, trying to guess, because it's always
that's
wrong.
So true.
So I'll go into my background. I became a Taylor fan, like, a proper fan, around 2008, so I was very late to the party. But I, like, joined the fandom, I would say, in 2010 or 2009 when I got on Tumblr, which is where we met. Yep.
Way back in the day. I actually don't even remember the first time that we had an interaction. What I remember most is, like, oh, I don't even know. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is when you got into that turf war with that kid about the URL. Wasn't it just, like, Out of the Woods?
Yeah, that was with Bo.
It was with Bo.
So, Bo, if you're listening, we're cool now, but there was, like, that beef for a long time with me and Bo.
It was so over the stupid. URL outofthewoods.tumblr.com.
Which, to be fair, is hard to find. Not everyone has that.
Well, only one person does, as a matter of fact.
But funny story, I had to buy that URL from someone. Like, I literally exchanged money to have this URL.
I feel like I remember you telling me this. How much money did you pay?
It was like $80. It's insane to me. But at the time, you know, the value of a good URL like
15,
was
which even 15, I'm like, all right, no, that's a bit much. No. But $80.
But Doug was offering $150 to this girl. He like outbid me, but I had asked first. So I got into this little argument with the girl that was selling it. And I was like, you owe it to me. Like, you promised it to me. Like, I'm not going to give you any more money. Like, you just give me this URL. And I think I kind of bullied her into not taking Beau's offer.
Fucking Christ.
Giving it to me instead.
Yeah, that sounds then, like a 2012 Zach thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of like a 2019 thing for me to do also. But I got it. I got the URL. And then Beau tried to expose me by saying that I bought it. And I was like, what are you trying to do? Like, you also tried to buy it. Like, I don't understand why you're making fun of me for this when you're just mad because you really wanted it.
That absolutely kills me. And that's just one of like a million fucking things that happened on Tumblr.com. And that absolutely kills me. Yeah, that there's a brief history.
If Beau is listening, we're all good now. We follow each other on Instagram. Like, it's fine. But I can't believe we're getting into this not 10 minutes into the podcast.
Fucking no. We're not even close to the era when this happened. But it's relevant. It really is.
It's relevant. So That is the first time Madeline remembers me, but I remember that I was really obsessed with you. Like, you were my idol. I thought you were so funny. I used to read your blog every day. I think I also harassed you into following me.
Yeah, I feel like, I honestly think that that is the truth. I feel like you sent me, like, messages, ask messages or whatever. I don't even remember what they're fucking called. Every day. And I was just like, all right. I guess I'll follow this kid.
Yeah, I think I would just, like, pretend to be really nice to get you to follow me. And then you did, and it just, like, wasn't everything I set it out to be.
No. It was probably just about average. Just another day. No, but
yeah, to be fair, I mean, neither of us get super involved in the big fandom drama.
No, that was like my whole thing. Like, way back in the day, like, I always knew everything, but like, I was never involved until I was. But that's a story for another fucking day. But I was never like,
that is a story for the 1989 era. No one has ever tried to drag Matt.
Except for one person. And
by calling her racist.
Right? Because we're not even gonna get into this, but it was
We need to save that story.
It was so pulling something out of his asshole. Because I don't even, it was because
he just didn't like
you. It wasn't even that he didn't like me. It's that he found out that I was talking shit about him on my Twitter, which, okay, yes, I probably deserve to have somebody be like, hey, you're talking shit about me publicly on your fucking Twitter. And fucking Jess warned me about a million times that I needed to shut my fucking mouth. But I was just like, nobody can ever find me on my Twitter. But of course, everybody did, including him. And he was like, you've been saying shit about me. And I was like, well, the shit that I've been saying about you is true. And I was like roasting him publicly on Tumblr.com. And so he was like, I have to say something about this girl to make it like, oh, she's actually the bad person. So he was like, so you're a fucking racist. And I was like,
that was the crux of the argument.
Oh, shit. And the thing is that people actually were like, yeah, fuck you, Madeline. And I was just like, I have like evidence that the things that I said about him actually happened. But okay, I'm the bad guy. Whatever.
Yeah, he was the proved pedophile that got removed from Tumblr by the fandom because everyone dragged him so much. But he's still around. He won't go away.
Well, he has me blocked, and that's the life I want. I love it. I love it.
Still has he blocked after all
literally
these years.
I actually was thinking about this the other day because I knew that it was probably going to come up at some point in the podcast, and I was like, how the fuck long ago was that? And I was like, dead ass 5 or 6 years ago. It has been so
yeah
long.
It was like middle of 1989. It's been a really long time.
Yeah, and he still has enough dislike for me that he has me blocked. I don't care enough about him to actively try and block him. You know what I mean? But I mean, at least he's not on my TL.
He would never be on the TL because no one that we know on our good Christian timelines.
Right, and everybody that we do know, that we know kind of well, he also has them blocked. It's weird.
Yeah, he called us what? The Shady Ladies and
I thought it was like the Sassy Sisters. No, it was the Shady Ladies, wasn't it? It wasn't even there wasn't it was even the Shady like Ladies alliteration.
Plus Zach. That's what he called
Shady
us.
Shady Ladies plus Zach.
And like, why can't I just be a shady lady? I want to be a shady lady.
I mean, calling me and you shady ladies, like, that's fair. But, like, he had, like, Kylie, fucking Allie, Jess.
Liz.
It's just like, they were the ones telling me to be quiet. So,
yeah, okay, so I guess we should talk about the real stuff this episode is about. Sorry for just, like, gossiping for 12 minutes. That's
just went off on a tangent. It's okay.
But, you know, that's going to happen a lot probably. Here. So everybody, please just get ready. But yeah, so what we're going to do is go through every year of Taylor's career and try and analyze and give our opinions on all the things that happened, which is going to be a horrible task when we get to I Love Promo and I Become Really Famous, Taylor.
And it was...
But for now, so I guess, should we start at the very beginning?
Yes, but do you mean at the Bluebird Cafe? Are we going there, all the way to the start?
Yeah, yeah, all the way to the beginning, where Taylor's homeless for a few years.
I didn't know that her backstory was just like Halsey's. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Taylor
they
and Halsey
do?
Have a lot
okay,
in
all right.
They both love cocaine.
Right, yes.
They're both bisexual, apparently.
According to some.
So, 2003, 2004, 2005, Taylor is in a development deal with Sony, which she, as the legend goes, was very unhappy with because they wanted to sign her to another year of development, and she was kind of over it. So, she goes to the Bluebird Cafe. This is how the story goes. We don't know that this is how she said.
Well,
there was no one around.
It's what she said, yes.
It's how she said. And, you know, we've learned not to believe everything that comes out of Taylor's mouth.
Oh, my God.
We love her, but she's not the most trustworthy source of information all the time. So she plays the Bluebird Cafe and she meets Scott Bruschetta. And Scott Bruschetta.
Are you saying, Bruschetta? Or are you saying Borschetta? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying Bruschetta. Because I don't think he deserves to be called by his real name.
I remember
personally.
When I blocked him. I unblocked him.
Why did you block him?
Before the Reputation era, like before anything started happening, because I was like, I'm fucking sick of your bullshit. I don't even know. It's just like, and I also blocked
Music does not have value.
What's his fucking name? I don't even remember because I blocked him so hard. The guy that directs a lot of her music videos now.
Ugh, Joseph.
Oh, I blocked that bitch ass before the fucking Reputation tour started, or excuse me, the Reputation era. And then I had to unblock him.
Well, you've had a peaceful time then.
I did. I was safe from a lot of bullshit, and I just had to reblock him. But anyway, back to the point.
So Scott is extremely wowed by Taylor Swift, obviously, as anyone would be, and he asks her if he can sign her to a label that he hasn't started yet.
It doesn't even exist. It
doesn't exist, and Taylor, being the homeless person that she was at this time. Was like, you know what? Let's do it. And it's worth noting that Scott Swift, her father, just, you know, putting all the cards out there, he invested $120,000.
How do you know the exact number? I've never known that. It was 120 grand.
It says on Wikipedia. Which is...
Okay. All right. Okay. I believe
which
it.
Obviously
it sounds like,
is the most
it sounds
reliable
like a
source
very
of information.
Legitimate number. So I'm just going to roll with it.
But we do know that Scott owns 3% of Big Machine.
Well, you know what? That's not a bad number. If you think of that, he's probably making money.
It's worth like 300 mil now. So I think Scott Swift is just fine.
So it's...
He's
really
fine.
And it was crazy to me. So I've always known that. I even like way back in the day, I knew that. And I never thought it was that big of a deal that Scott Swift... invested in the company, because it's like, oh, this guy wants to give my daughter a record deal, I'm gonna give him some money so that, you know, like she can put out albums. But it was crazy to me. It was
smart.
Like I think it was even after the Red era. It was like 1989 that people were, like, dragging her for, like, oh, her daddy bought her a music deal. I was just like, I don't really think that's how it happened.
No, that's definitely not how it happened. But she did have, I would say, maybe a leg up over other unsigned artists in that she had, like, capital behind her.
That's true. I guess you could say that she was privileged. I don't think everybody in her position could have walked away from Sony.
That's true. Yeah, that's really true. But, you know, that's where it begins. That's where it all starts. And as Taylor's writing for the album, she convinces Big Machine to hire Nathan Chapman, who we love. He's done a lot of work with Taylor, who goes on to work with her until 1989. He does one song on 1989, which is This Love, and then he kind of pieces out. And then she also begins to write with Liz Rose.
Yeah, that's the queen. Really love. That is the original fucking
she
queen.
She wrote so many great things with Taylor. And also, I remember an interview with her where she said she was more of an editor than a writer with Taylor, where she'd just help her condense her ideas. So that's why we love her. She doesn't interfere with the queen's writing process.
That's probably why the songs that she's written with Liz Rose are the fucking best ones. Because, I mean, just factually looking at the facts.
Definitely.
And we're talking about songs such as White Horse, Cold as You, All Too Well. And those are the best ones.
All of you All Too Well stands that are, like, screaming at Taylor for the 10-minute version, which I don't think exists, but, you know, everybody wants to hear it. You need to really chase down Liz Rose. Like, she's the that whittled the song down. So if you want the original version, I'd say go to the source.
Yep.
So in February 2006, we get some weird Taylor Swift MySpace posts.
Oh, my God.
This is like the source of the original memes.
I was like, I forgot that this ever fucking happened. But it was like a big deal when people like discovered them. I remember it.
It was just weird because it breaks the shell, you know, the like very hardened persona that she has.
And at the time, I mean, talking about personas, like at the fucking time when these were like, you know, quote unquote leaking or whatever you want to say. Her persona was so, like, squeaky clean, religious for some fucking reason, country girl, you know, I'm a good girl, my cowboy boots and my sundress, which, I mean, logically, everybody has to know, like, oh, she's a normal person, she's not, you know, but it was still weird to read them. It was like, who the fuck wrote this? But it was her. It was her.
The two funniest ones. Yes. Let's dive into. So, December 28th, 2005. Just a little reminder to you that even though the semester may be over, I'm still quite obsessed with you. Ha ha. Fuck sewing machines. Love, love, love.
I just have to say that I, above all else, find these annoying. It's like, if I would be
they're really stupid.
Annoyed by her.
They're like my Facebook posts from middle school, so I understand where she's coming from.
Where she's coming from.
Also, this one I personally relate to. This one really, really does hit me home. That picture of me up at the top is gross. That is sick. Take it down. It serves no purpose other than to make me look fugly. I want it off now. But I love you.
That's the most relatable one. By far.
That one really makes sense to me. But there's another one that I'm not going to read because it's really long. But it's like a limerick that she writes. And it's really dramatic.
I know which one you're talking about. I don't think I...
It's the one where, like, I can't be happy. Like, I can't get what I want.
Oh, my God. I want what I want, but I can't. I remember it now. She should be embarrassed.
She really should be embarrassed. But this behavior stops when Kim McGraw comes out, which is on June 19th of 2006.
Of 2006? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was the first time we ever heard from Miss Taylor. That,
yes, it was. Not me specifically.
Or me.
At that point, I was still very heavily into you know, Avril Lavigne, Evanescence, you know, just keeping it real. What happens after that?
So it stays on the Hot 100 for 20 weeks, which is pretty good for a new artist on their debut single. And it peaks at number 40 on the Hot 100, which is like the general singles chart. So she's up against like all the pop queens. But she still hits number 40, so we stan. Yeah. And then it hits number 6 on the country charts, which Taylor then turns her attention to. Something to note, Taylor and Andrea personally packaged the single and sent it to radio because Big Machine had no money. They really had nothing. So Taylor, you know, took on the hard work, the heavy lifting.
Yep, she packaged CDs.
We should talk about the video.
Oh, the video. The Tim McGraw video. First of all, low budget, but they made it work.
Definitely low budget.
They made it fucking work.
Looks gorgeous.
She looks beautiful. Sunset. You can't get a better sunset in the summertime. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's a very pretty video. It's cute. Do you remember when they, like, it was within the last 2 years when that clip, a deleted scene from the Tim McGraw video came out, and it was of her and the guy making out in, like, the lake?
No, I have not
seen that. Yeah, and it's funny because, what has it been, 10 years? Like, why all of a sudden is this surfacing? But it was, like, steamy.
Leaking?
It was hot. She was, like, 16.
No, I was looking at the video. And I was thinking, this is very virginal and sweet. But there's this one moment where Taylor, like, puts her hand very centrally down his chest.
Yes, I know, like, exactly towards... what you're talking about.
And I was like, that's kind of scandalous for this era.
It doesn't even scratch the surface. out in the fucking lake. God, that was hot stuff.
So clearly they censored that video. But it was a cute video. It wasn't amazing, but it was, you know, a good introduction, low budget. Yep, we loved it.
We did.
Okay, so then on October 24th of 2006, the debut comes out. And the New York Times describes it as a small masterpiece of pop-minded country.
God, I miss that.
I know. People were so nice to her. So she is 16 when this comes out, and it peaks at number 5 on the album's chart, which is great. A top 5 debut for your, like, first album.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the track list, and we'll go through all of our thoughts and feelings on the song. So first up, we have the number one single, Heard Around the
Tim
World,
McGraw.
I Heart Passion Heart.
Heard Around the Fucking World, Tim McGraw. Yes.
Tim McGraw,
we did love it. I honestly still love it to this day. I think I'll always love it. It's actually like even considering like all the variables of it, like it's just like a good song no matter what. So it's like, this is, it fucking slaps.
It is a great song. We really love it. It's very simple. It's very relaxed. It has a good vibe. Liz Rose wrote this with her.
Again, we fucking stan.
So the next song, which I can't wait to discuss with you, is Picture.
You know,
to
what's
burn.
Funny is that I was listening to like the actual CD in my car today. And so the actual CD has the original lyrics in it. And it's funny because you can't, if you listen to the fucking album on Apple Music or Spotify, the original lyric no longer exists.
It has been.
It has been deleted. And it's funny. It's like, it's almost like having an ancient artifact, having the fucking original copy of the CD.
Yeah.
It sort of like surprised me when I actually heard it, because it's like, I haven't heard that lyric in so fucking long, and I heard it and I was like, oh shit.
I kind of cringe when I hear it. I'm kind of like, oh,
it's like a beyond cringe to me. It's like,
it's just like, Taylor, why did you do that? What was it for? What did it mean? Like, so if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a lyric, go and tell your friends that I'm obsessive and crazy. That's fine. I'll tell mine that you're gay. And she thinks this is a serve when she's saying it, by the way. Like,
you can tell that she thinks that she just gave a zinger.
Oh, she
she's
really
like,
does.
I mean,
it's bad. She really thought she was doing that with this line.
And I'm sure, like, in the deep south,
yeah, I'm sure
maybe
that was a huge
she was
insult.
Fucking serving maybe she was serving homophobia in the deep south. But to the rest of the world, I don't really know if it was the serve that she thought. And luckily she wised up to that. Didn't she say that she wasn't going to play it anymore?
There are only a few Taylor Swift songs that are well and truly dead, like that she's never going to acknowledge, never going to play again. And one of them is Picture to Burn. She hates this fucking song.
It's really a goddamn shame.
I know.
Because it fucking slaps.
It does slap. It slaps. It delivers. I think maybe she thinks it's a little immature.
Well, I mean, yes, but that's half the fun of it. That's why it's just like, and it's just like the way that the fucking chorus is, where it's just like, you're just fucking screaming it. When she played it on the fucking Fearless tour, I fucking lost my mind.
I'm sure.
I mean, I don't know. It is immature, but at the same time, it's like, sometimes when, what am I trying to say? Like, sometimes it feels good to, like, be immature after, like, if you get, like, fucking pissed off at somebody. So it's, like, nice. It was always a nice song to turn to be like, I'm fucking pissed off. And the song is so immature and just, like, petty. And it's just like, wow, that's how I feel right now, you know?
And this is the beginning.
I think it made some points.
It did. It definitely raised a few points. The points were sometimes questionable, but they were still points that were made.
Yep.
But she hates this. She never wants to play it again. Someone on the Red Tour asked her to play it, and she straight up apparently was like, I hate that song. I'm not going to play it.
Yep. Yep. I remember that. That's what, yeah.
And she doesn't say that about many songs. She'll like try to find a nicer way. I don't think she's ever
said that about anything. What's another song that she said she won't play?
Better Than Revenge.
That's okay. Yep, that's fair.
Of course. Okay. We'll get into that and speak now.
Yes, yes.
It makes
yes.
sense that that song is dead. But Picture to Burn and Better Than Revenge, I would say, are songs that we're never going to hear from her mouth again.
God, that's weird to think about. I've actually never thought of it that way before.
But Picture to Burn also is, I would say, the beginning of Snake Taylor, like Vindictive Taylor.
Oh, number one. I mean, Picture to Burn and Better Than Revenge, and like even getting into like some of the unreleased tracks, or talk about
REVENGE.
That is Snake Taylor, fetus Snake Taylor in the fucking egg.
Even Permanent Marker kind of goes there as well.
Yes. Yes, God. I unironically enjoy Permanent Marker, no matter what anybody fucking says.
I think it's great, and Taylor clearly thinks it's great, too, because she played it throughout this era.
She did! She was trying to make it a hit.
It's not even on the album, and she's like, guys, didn't this happen. Is my next single.
Yeah. Oh, man. But that performance where she plays it and she's in the fucking, like, the baby blue cowboy boots, which mm-hmm. were the cutest ones.
They were the best ones.
And that little dress she had, and she was all curly, and she had the fucking, the Gwen Stefani wraparound mic. I was like,
yeah, we need to talk about that. What was that? Like, that was a weird time.
She was trying to, like, I don't know. It's like she wanted to be super performative, but also she wanted to be like, I play the guitar also.
I think that was what it was. She wanted to be able to, like, do her stomping around the stage, but also play the guitar at the same time.
She wanted her stage presence to be fucking known, and it was.
It was.
And it was.
Britney's impact with the headset mic, honestly.
I'm telling you, yes. She was channeling Britney.
In a really yeehaw kind of way. So up next on the track list we have Madeline's favorite, Teardrops on My Guitar.
Yes. This is, I listened to it today and I was like, okay, I acknowledge that this came from a very young girl. I acknowledge that this is not relatable for grown-ass adults. I acknowledge that it is childish, but it is amazing.
It fucking slaps.
I mean, some of the, yes, it's corny, it's cliche, whatever. Some of the lyrics in that song are fucking unreal that she wrote that when she was that fucking young. About some dumbass, by the way.
This podcast is sponsored by Drew.
I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I know it's country, like, so bottom of the barrel. But it's fucking amazing in my
This is just
personal
one
book.
Of those Taylor songs that will never get old. It defines who she was in the beginning of her career so well.
It's iconic. It's iconic.
It kind of foreshadows her pop career, because this really is a pop song more than a country
song. Yeah, 100%. So if she was just like a pop girl, like never had any country in her, you know, veins whatsoever, that song would have been number one.
There also was a pop remix of this version, which so I used to listen to that and refuse to listen to the real version, because I was like, I love pop music, I hate country artists, but obviously that song slaps for anyone. So I was like, I have to find a way to listen to this. So when I found the pop version, I was like, okay, I can get
this
a little
for me.
Can dance a little to this version. Like, the original version is slower, but better objectively. So she also wrote this with Liz Rose. Again, proof that we stand.
Proof, queen, etc.
The next song makes me want to kill myself. I hate this song. It is one of my
I skipped it. I didn't even fucking listen to it. I don't even know if I have anything to say about it. I didn't even fucking listen to it.
To be fair, I don't really love the debut. It is not an album that I come back to and listen beyond the singles very often. So when I forced myself to listen to it for this podcast, I did listen to the whole thing, and A Place in This World just makes me want to claw my ears off.
It's
bad. It's just bad.
It simply is. And there's some stans out there who are going to be up in arms, but I got to tell you, like, yes, I know that she was 12 when she wrote it. That doesn't mean I have to bop.
And it also doesn't mean that it had to be on her album. Like, what are you doing?
She also wrote Smoky Black Nights when she was 12. Do I have to stand that too? Because I don't.
Do I have to listen to Sweet Tea and God's Graces? To be fair, that song kind of slaps. I'm kind of into that song. I'm not going to lie. I kind of love that.
To be fair, even though we're roasting it, it's kind of good.
Yeah, it's better than A Place in This World, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I would have taken Sweet Tea and God's Graces on the debut over A Place in This World in a fucking heartbeat.
A Place in This World just upsets me. It's, like, such a bad concept. It says what the outside says, but in a worse way.
Dude, that's the fucking thing! A Place in This World and the outside are the same fucking song.
It's just that A Place in This World sounds bad and the outside is good.
Yes, okay. All right, that's all I have to say about that fucking song.
Yeah, we need to move on. But also to note, Liz Rose didn't write on this song.
Proof, again!
Proof that it sucks. So then we have a legend, something that people in the fandom are obsessed with, which is Cold As You.
I don't give a fuck about anybody else's motherfucking opinion. I don't care what the Grammys would say, or what Beyonce would say, or what DJ on Twitter.com would say. This is one of her best fucking songs. Cold As You is in the top five. Even if she puts out, like, the best album of her fucking life with TS7, it doesn't fucking matter. Nothing on that album, nothing on any album will ever knock Cold As You out of the top fucking five.
That's true.
It is unreal.
It's such crazy. A good song. The level of skill and songwriting
the
in this song.
The level of songwriting is insane.
Just from a 16-year-old, like, when I was 16, I was like, lol, like, ruffle, like, I was not forming words. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Taylor's out here, like, writing poetry. Legitimately, this is amazing lyricism.
It's literally, like, okay, it was literally, like, Death Cab for Cutie, but country. That's probably the worst analogy I could have made, but, like, in terms of, like, that's what I probably would have said and probably did say in 2006 when I heard it for the first time, when Death Cab for Cutie was a thing. I mean, it's just, like, the songwriting was so just, like, poignant. It was so fucking, I don't even, transcendent. It was iconic.
Yeah.
There's not enough, like, good adjectives that I can fucking think of for this goddamn song.
And Madeline, do you know who co-wrote the song with Taylor?
I have an idea. I have a guess. I think I do know.
It was Liz Rose. It was her. We love her. Again,
we stand. We
bring her back for TS7. Please, God.
Oh, so this actually reminds me. So back in the day, there was a Cold As You piano demo that I always really wanted. I wanted it so fucking bad. And it was, like, years and years of me saying that I wanted it. And it was, like, during the 1989 era that somebody anonymously emailed it to me.
I have it. I had it for a long time.
I had not had it. Nobody fucking gave it to me. Not even Zach, I guess. But I got it anonymously, and I listened to it, and I was like... So, it's not as good as I wanted it to be.
No, it's not. But the final version is better.
A lot better. What I always wanted was a studio piano. Mm-hmm. But I want that for a lot of Taylor songs. And it's just, it's barking up the wrong tree.
The one for Tim McGraw is really good.
Yes, that one is good.
It's really good. And then also, just sorry, back to Teardrops on My Guitar. Did you know that Taylor tried to give this to the Dixie Chicks and she wrote a gender neutral version of it?
Yeah, I do remember that little tidbit.
That's on YouTube if you want to find it. Yeah, thank God that didn't happen. A gender neutral version, like, what? It's like, you look at me. Like, we need Drew.
Yeah, we really need Drew. As much as we don't,
as much as Taylor hates him. Drew. But back to Cold as You. So Taylor, I don't know why, pretended like this song didn't exist for a really long time.
And when she fucking played it
on the Red Tour,
I lost my goddamn mind. Are you fucking kidding me?
Clearly. I remember your reaction to this and Sad, Beautiful, Tragic so clearly.
I literally was on another fucking level with the Red Tour. And you know what I fucking got at my show? Just a steer away from this. Other people got to hear Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. Other fucking people got to hear
Last fucking Kiss, Cold as You. Forever and Always.
I got to hear Speak Now, the song.
Oh my God.
That's what I fucking got in Fargo, North Dakota.
That is horrible.
It was literally like she pulled it out of her asshole at the last moment. She was like, oh shit, I have to play a surprise song. Okay, Speak Now, the song. Let's go.
That no one asked for this, but here you go.
Nobody fucking asked for it. Least of all me. I was begging her to play pretty much anything but that.
Why that song? That, like, nobody is interested in that. I guarantee you no one ever is like, you know what I'd love to hear? Speak Now.
not me bitch.
Not me. So yeah, we love Cold as You. Liz Bros, amazing. So then we move on to, I think, one of my favorites outside of the singles on the album, which is The Outside.
I don't really have an opinion on this song.
That is really rude.
I don't care. I skipped this one too.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna have to do the legwork on this one. So The Outside, Taylor wrote when I believe she was around 12 or 13, and this has no co-write. So this is one of the OG Taylor wrote this by herself songs. And I love The Outside because, you know, I went through a time where I had no friends. And this song just kind of encapsulates that perfectly. So this song is a great comfort to me. And I think that's why I like it so much. And it also kind of bops, you know? Madeline's like, yeah, sure, I suppose so.
No, I think the song has a good message and it's cute and stuff. But it's just not one of my faves. It's like, I don't hate it. But I also don't really like it that much.
I also think that if you played this for Taylor, she'd be like, who wrote that? Like, whose song is
that? Oh, who is that?
She's good. I like this. She doesn't know that this song is in the world.
No, she really doesn't, which is ironic.
And
the outside is
on the outside. No one's
going to
remind her. No one's going to remind her. So she's never going to find out that it exists.
Right.
So next we have a song that I think is completely overhyped and... Oh, I can say this about a lot of Taylor songs, but I'm just fucking overhearing about it. It's Tied Together with a Smile.
I skipped this one fucking too.
This one is too long.
I did
long.
My time.
It's too
Here's
cheesy.
The thing. I did my fucking time of being fucking 13 and 14 crying in my room to
exactly.
this fucking song.
I've
did my
there.
Time and now I'm grown and I don't have to do it anymore.
So. I don't want to listen to this again. I don't want to hear
really
it.
Don't ever want to listen to that song. It was for young girls, which is great. A total respect, love it, but I don't have to listen to it anymore.
This song is just so dramatic. And you know that it's about Taylor, like, she saw someone crying once in, like, a lunchroom, and she was like, oh my God, let me write her whole life story into a song.
I can't believe the popular girl has problems, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's just tied together with a smile. Like, it's so stupid. This song, you know, it had its time. We loved it when we were dramatic and young, and now we're older and
this is
boring.
A hot fucking take.
No, this is. We're gonna get roasted for saying this. People are gonna be like, this song saved my life. This song made me not want to kill myself. And we're gonna be like, okay, that's fine, but we don't like it.
Oh, all right. All right. Okay. Moving next. Next.
Oh, I also forgot. We forgot to talk about how dramatic Cold as You is.
Okay. So the one I will allow, the one roast of Cold as You that I will fucking allow
is, I know what this is gonna
in
be.
in the fucking bridge when she says, and I know you wouldn't have told nobody if I died
for you.
It's like, Taylor, all right.
Like, you that 15.
You are 15, girl. It's gonna be all right.
Honestly, who I just can't with that part of the song. The rest of it is amazing, but that specific part, I'm like, okay.
I know. It's like, fair. But it's like, how did that lyric even get in there?
Liz Rose dropped the ball there. That one she let go.
Right. Every queen stumbles sometimes.
That's true, and that's where she fell apart, but the rest of the song makes up for it.
Yes.
Then we have another song that I don't care about.
Are you talking about Stay Beautiful?
Yes, I'm talking about Stay Beautiful.
So the thing is, it's cute, it's a bop, it's adorable. I never listened to it.
Yeah, the replay value is not huge. I mean, also we have to, you know, keep in perspective that this album came out at a time, at a specific time.
At a time.
It had its place. We appreciated it back then, but some of these songs don't age with us, you know?
No, they really don't. And Stay Beautiful, don't age with Taylor either.
No, so they it's don't. Fair. It's Taylor, totally fair Taylor to hates say. Them. Yeah. And Stay Beautiful, again, is one of those songs where people have recently become obsessed with, but I think people just say they're obsessed with songs on the debut so they don't look like fake fans. I think that is a really big thing. So Stay Beautiful is one of those songs that suddenly has this army behind it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, Corey's eyes are like a jungle, like, fine. But I just am not that interested in
it. I'm really not. When I worked at Chili's, this is so off the beaten path. When I fucking worked at Chili's, I had a manager whose name was Corey.
Oh my
and it's
God.
Like the only Corey I've ever fucking known. And
were his
I,
eyes like a jungle?
They were like a fucking jungle. It was insane. They were like blue green. I was,
wow,
like, Corey's eyes
like
are like
a
fucking jungle. God, he was hot. You know, it's like that was the only time in my life when Stay Beautiful was fucking relevant, to
so
be
we,
honest.
So we can say that definitively about this song, Corey's eyes are like a jungle.
Are like a jungle. And
that's
totally
that's
fair.
All that we have to
that's
say
fair.
About it.
Yep.
Next, onto a huge bop, Legendary, was revived for this tour, should have said no.
Cast Queen.
Oh, yes. This song slaps so fucking hard.
It's timeless.
It's timeless.
It's
it really
timeless.
Is. Where do we go from here? It's just
know.
Great.
It's,
like,
it's
I have
just,
nothing
it's just
mean
fucking
to say about
good.
It.
I don't even know.
All of the tour performances of it have been good.
It's just one of those songs where it's like, it fucking goes so fucking hard. That's like, you don't even have to really try
no,
to make
it
the live performance
you.
Of it good. It just fucking goes off.
It takes,
so
it takes you
else.
There. And
yep.
People, I think that, you know, newer stans, not to shade them, forget that Should Have Said No was quite a big deal. She ended the Fearless tour with Should Have Said No. Like, it was the closer. That's a
it was the
spot.
Song. It was the song.
With the rain and the no, oh my God, so good, so so good. And Taylor wrote this by herself because she's
yep.
a fucking legend.
A goddamn legend.
Next, another song yep. that I don't care about, which is actually I hate this song, Mary's Song brackets. Oh my,
fuck
my, my.
You! That is wrong.
I hate
wrong.
This song. This is like
I
one of my least
song.
Favorite ones. Why? I'd really love to hear why you love this song.
listen to me. This is a song from Taylor that really, for me, encapsulates her talent as a fucking storyteller. Like, this shit didn't even happen to her, and I, like, believe that it did.
This like, is my problem. And this shit isn't real.
But it's
story.
Like, you almost think that it is because she's so fucking good at writing songs.
Mm-mm, I never thought that this was a real story. Right. I was never brought
all
there.
All right. I love this song. I was listening to it today in my fucking car in the fucking grocery store parking lot, and I was crying. I'm telling
what?
You, I'm
Why?
Grown.
For
I'm
what?
A grown woman, and I
for
cried
what you were crying
America.
For what
I cried. For, I don't know, true love. Who knows? I don't know. It was, I love it. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, I think it's hot garbage, so I don't care about this song. I wouldn't care if...
God. Holy shit.
I'm ready to let this one go. Yeah, no, I'm going to get roasted for saying that. People love this
song. Well, because it's good, and you're wrong.
And this is how the Taylor Swift fandom works.
Yeah, literally.
An opinion, this was like, and everyone's like, no, you're wrong.
This is like a Twitter thread in real life is what just happened.
I consider this song a lose for Liz Rose, but you definitely don't.
I definitely don't.
Also, I forgot to say this, but I just wanted to make this point. So in Picture to Mars, sorry to like jump back. In Picture to Burn, the line that says, go ahead and tell your friend. Wait, no, no, no. She talks about her dad. My daddy's going to show you how sorry we'll be. What? Wait. What is Scott Swift going to do to me? Like, that man.
This is a prime fucking example of her, like, desperately wanting to be this, like, country girl that she completely wasn't. And so, you know, she wanted to have, like, a southern girl's dad in a fucking wife beater with a fucking beer belly and a scraggly ass beard and a bat. That's what she wanted. She didn't have that, but she was going to pretend like she did.
Like, Taylor, your dad works at Maryland. Yeah. Like, what is he going to do to me? Is he going to take my money? Yeah, like, that's the only thing that I think he can do. On the other hand, I would be very scared of Andrea Swift.
Oh,
she is a scary
person. She would beat your fucking ass.
Oh, she would murder you. I think she would, like, do that Hannibal Lecter thing where she, like, takes your face off and wears it. Like, she would do that. But Scott Swift is doing nothing.
Not a goddamn thing. Nothing to me, nothing to anybody.
I just wanted to bring that up because Scott Swift is he's a person that exists. Okay, so then we go to the end of the regular album, which is our song.
Yes. And frankly, the song started to get a bad rap during the Red Era because she
people were being fucking
every
rude.
Fucking day, which is like fair, okay. Not everybody wants to hear our song, but if that hadn't happened,
don't know
it would
why
still be a legend. And to me, it still is a legend. It is her iconic. This was like, okay, I'm like losing. I can't even talk about it. I like can't even get on a train of thought because it's so fucking good. It's so good.
Everything about this song is good. It's so cute. We'll go into the video later, but it's so good. And this is my first Taylor song that I ever heard. So I have a strong emotional attachment to our song. And I remember seeing it and being like, who is this blonde bitch? Yeah, I remember I used to watch the MTV like music video countdown, and it was always like 200 songs. And I would tune in right at the start when all the flops were playing, like 199, 198. And Taylor Swift was like 197, our song. And I heard it. I was like waiting for Avril, obviously waiting for Hillary Duff at like the top 10, the Black Eyed Peas. But what I got instead was our song.
And
I was
Taylor
like,
Swift.
This shit slaps.
I was like, the rest is history.
But I was also confused because in Singapore, country music like really doesn't exist. Like it's not a thing that people are interested in. And we're so removed from American culture that like country music really, I've never heard it before. So I heard this song and I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I kind of like it. So that's where it all started for me anyway. But our song was written just by Taylor. And
yeah,
it's
unfucking real that she wrote that fucking song to me. Did she play it for her talent show?
The fake country accent. Yeah, she wrote it for her 9th grade talent show.
Snapped. She didn't have to.
She didn't have to, but she did, and we're grateful. Our song, great. We love it. She's a legend. Next, we have the bonus tracks, which most of should have been kept on the album. There's one that I have a problem with, but we'll get into that. So the first bonus track is I'm Only Me When I'm With You.
It's cute. It's okay.
It's cute. Again, I don't understand why people have suddenly become really obsessed with this song. Do you remember it was for like one of the Arlington shows? People were going hard for her to play this, and they were mad when she played All Too Well.
Why would you rather hear I'm Only Fucking Me When I'm With You over All Too Well?
Over All
That's
Too
fucking
Well.
Crazy.
What's wrong with you?
That's nuts.
Like, are you okay? I don't think... It was just like crazy stance. I don't want to name names, but it was like I want to say some Republicans wanted to hear that. Which makes sense. This is a Yeehaw song.
Republicans?
Yeah. Some Republicans that are now pretending not to be Republicans.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be in the Taylor Swift fandom and you're going to be a Republican, you've got to hide. I mean, yep,
you have to hide. And I'm sure that if you are a Republican in hiding, this is a song that you listen to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you love I'm Only Me When I'm With You, that's how we feel about you. Next, we have Invisible.
I like the song. I don't love it, but I like it. It's kind of just like Teardrops on My Guitar, but like not as good, but I like it.
Yeah, it's like it definitely is a rerun of Teardrops on My Guitar, but it's a little bit different. Like, it has a difference, not like with A Place in This World and The Outside. Okay. That is like,
yes.
One was significantly worse than the other. This one is good. And she played it on the Rep Tour, shockingly.
I don't think I was privy to that information. I did not fucking know that. You disappeared. She busted that shit out. What the fuck?
But you didn't know that she played Invisible? Wow, fake fan. She can
fucking play Invisible, but when's the day gonna come when I hear if this was a movie?
Oh my god, Don't get me started. I don't think I can discuss that. I really just don't think that I'll be able to remain calm and speak about how she has never played.
It's one of her best fucking songs, but she's gonna play Invisible.
It really is.
That pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
She's played Superman live.
Oh my god, this was a movie. But we're not allowed to hear this was a fucking movie. What is she embarrassed about?
She's so mean. She's so mean. Also, it charted higher than ours.
Oh shit! But we had to hear ours like a million fucking times and get a fucking single.
A million times.
Get a fucking single.
She's a bitch. I hate her. Okay, anyway, we're really getting off track. Really, we'll get into that later. Later. Wait for our Speak Now episode. We'll go all the way off. Then we have A Perfectly Good Heart.
So the thing is that I don't
Cricket.
Recognize that as being a part of the discography.
It's not a song that literally belongs to Taylor.
Fell off the face of the earth, as far as I'm concerned. You said the title, and it took me a moment to like remember.
How it goes. It's stupid. It's just dumb. It's immature.
It's not.
I know people hate it when you say stuff is immature.
What? Who says that? Who's?
Oh, people on Twitter are like, she was 16. Give her a break. Of course.
Yeah, but it's
immature.
like, okay. Let me ask those people a question. You take A Perfectly Good Heart and compare it to Cold As You and tell me what's mature and what's not. I mean, it's just like she had the maturity. She just wasn't using it in the song.
And also, Taylor's maturity wavers throughout the year. She has some very childish songs.
Yeah, it's true.
We stand, but she does.
It's just the fact. Yep.
Just want to say, this is why we can't have nice things. I'm looking at you, sweetie.
Oh, man, that is... Ooh, we got a long way before we can dig
I know,
into
we have a
one.
Long way before we get to that. So then we get the digital release only. None of the deluxe editions got this. The digital release gets I'd Lie, which is such a good song. Why wasn't it
absolute
on the album? And why wasn't it a single? Like, what is wrong with her?
I mean, it, like, makes me mad if I think about it too long. But it's, like, crazy to me because, it's like, I had friends in high school who were not, they were not internet people at all. They barely knew how to use YouTube. Like, they were not social media. They fucking knew I'd Lie. They knew of it.
It is a good song. It is a really good song. It's so
classic.
Catchy.
It's so goddamn good.
It's really fitting with the era.
Yeah.
So we also get radio edits of a few songs, and the notably different ones are Teardrops on My Guitar and then the changed Picture to Burn lyric.
Yes. She changed that lyric. Okay, so here's the thing. The radio edit, like the first one even, has that lyric taken out, if I'm not wrong.
I think you're probably right.
Which is crazy to me, because it's like, okay, so you knew even 3 months... Or not, maybe not 3 months, maybe like a year after the fact that it was shit. It's like, why even, I don't even understand why it existed to begin with, if I'm being honest with you.
That lyric was stupid. It didn't make sense. It doesn't sound good. Like, it's better, You Don't Mind If I Say, by the way. That sounds better to me.
Yeah, it rhymes.
I mean, that's the best thing we can say about it, really. Yeah. So Taylor is also very involved in the album packaging because she's a queen artist and begins the trend of capitalizing letters and song titles to become secret messages.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the secret messages for this album are not very juicy. And
because we didn't know any of these flops.
We didn't know these girls. They were all unknown to us. Yeah. Let's go through them anyway. So Tim McGraw, the secret is Can't Tell Me Nothing, which doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, because it song. Well, but because it's her favorite Tim McGraw song.
Oh, okay. That completely went over my head.
Oh my God.
100%. I was like, what does that mean? Like, what does that have to do with it?
Like, fucking 8 years just being like, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
I have never heard a Tim McGraw song. Yeah. I'm proud of that. Well, other than Highway Don't Care, that's it.
I have never heard that song either, but I just know that. Because I don't know. I just know that. It's some, like, trivia piece of information that I read years ago, and I was like, oh, okay.
Isn't it weird how many stupid things like that we have stored in our brain?
Right? Yeah. It's like, I don't even know why I know that. I just do.
I also need the space for useful information. Right. So why do I know all of these things?
I don't have space to know the title of a Tim McGraw song that I've never fucking heard, but it's there.
So the secret for Picture to Burn is Date Nice Boys. T.
Okay. T. That's T.
That's the T. Teardrops on My Guitar. The secret message is He Will Never Know, which I have to think
is wrong. I have to disagree.
When you name someone in a song, Taylor, they usually know that it's about them. So then A Place in This World, the message is I found this.
Okay. All right.
You can have it.
Tea.
It's for you. Yeah. Cold as You, Time to Let Go. That's really not the message of the song.
No,
but,
dude.
Okay.
Dude. Every time, that is like the worst message. Okay, that's being a little dramatic. It's not the worst one, but it's just like, in terms of like the depth of the song, and then you just have Time to Let Go. It's like, you could have said anything, Taylor. You could have said anything.
Really?
You said Time to Let
Genuinely.
Go.
Genuinely. You could have like, said Time to Murder Myself, Time to Cry.
Honestly, she didn't even fucking try.
No, she didn't. She was like, what could I do? And then randomly selected this because the letters probably lined up. Like,
right?
That's it.
Yes. Yep.
The outside message is You Are Not Alone. Nothing to say about that.
Not much.
Tied Together with a Smile, You Are Loved. Thank you.
Thank you, Kinky Queen.
Thanks. We're grateful.
Yes.
Stay Beautiful is Shake and Bake. Do you want to explain that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, my God. Dude,
what is that?
Okay, you are literally taking me back in fucking time right now. my understanding of it, like, if I remember when we used to fucking sit around and talk about dumb shit like this instead of like any drama, because back in the day she didn't really have any.
It was peaceful.
So we just sat around and talked about shit like Shake and Bake. I don't know. So I think we would just like say like, they probably made Shake and Bake together or some shit like that. Or Shake and Bake was the name of whatever, and then they would make jokes about it was probably about smoking weed or some shit like that.
I was about to say, I think it's about
I don't know that anybody knows. I think that's just for Corey, you know, whoever he is.
Whose eyes are like
they are like the jungle. I have no
okay,
idea.
Should have said no is Sam.
Yep.
I wonder who this is about.
I can't imagine. I remember when those pictures came out. Or not came out, but, like, somebody had found, like, a photo bucket that they said was Taylor's, or maybe one of Taylor's friends' old photo buckets. This was way back in the fucking day. And somebody found pictures of, like, Sam, or who they said was mm-hmm. Sam. And he was fucking gross, in my opinion. Which is, like, just so the truth. So the truth. Anytime a woman is like, oh, my God, this man hurt me so much. And you go and you look at him, you're like, that's a fucking gremlin. That's
yeah,
the dude.
How did Shrek break your heart?
That's the fucking dude. It's like, girl, how did you not know?
Mary's song secret message is sometimes love is forever.
I know. It That's I know. T.
I think that that is just as cringe as the song is. So next, our song, Live in Love.
I don't. That's like I hate.
That one's stupid. That one is so stupid.
I don't like that one. I don't like it at all.
We hate that. Yeah. She was like, how can I do this? Someone else do it for me.
They were like, live in love. It's like a t-shirt slogan from like Sears or Kohl's or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her exclusive clothing line for Walmart, maybe?
Dude, she... I haven't thought about that in years.
That was so bad.
It was pretty bad. None of it was really bad. Good.
No, of course not. One, it was for Walmart. Two, it was during her worst
Selena Gomez's
period.
Kmart line was better. So just...
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Kmart.
That's really embarrassing.
Kmart, ladies. Kmart.
All right. So that wraps up the album. So what would you score this out of 10?
Oh, shit. That is... You just... That was out of left field. okay. Are you talking about like, okay.
maybe we should give it a rating.
I'm
going to
say
what
seven.
We think of it now.
Seven. Yep, seven.
I'd give it a six.
Okay. That's fair. I feel like.
Because I just think there's a little bit of filler on this album, which I don't find in her other albums.
Filler. Well, I guess you could say A Place in This World and the Outside being the exact same fucking song.
And Invisible and Turned Off of My Guitar, like, come on.
Yeah, okay, all right. I think those are fair scores to me. I don't have a problem with that. Seven and six,
also
fair.
Also, what's crazy about this is that she had so many other songs, so I don't understand why there were
Dude,
like, duplicate songs.
You're
you know
telling
what I
mean?
There were
about,
so
like,
many.
You could have had, you remember Nevermind? It was not the best song
that was
ever,
good.
But it fucking
that was
slapped.
Really good.
It was better than The Outside.
Sweetie, debatable, but it's better than A Place
sweetie,
in This World.
Sweetie, debatable. No. Okay.
There are just, you know, I actually really want to start a petition to get Sweet Tea and God's Graces added onto this album.
You mean like as a re-release? Can you imagine if she re-released the debut with like tracks?
Everyone
Dude,
would murder
okay.
themselves.
Wait, you know what I thought about the other day? That's so fucking crazy to me. The song Your Face.
Horrible song.
Dude, you're wrong.
You think that's a good song?
I do think it's a good song.
I guess
you
we'll
know,
just have to agree to disagree.
All right. Okay.
This is going to happen a lot. This really is going to happen
yes.
a lot.
All right.
All right. So. We give it a 6 and a
yep.
7.
It's not bad.
Which is not bad nope. for a girl with no fame.
Yep, it really is.
And little vocal talent, if we're just being real, at this stage.
Yes, she was untrained. Let's leave it at that. Untrained.
Okay, so Taylor begins her trend of relentless promotion with a radio tour that lasts all of 2006 and into 2007. And she is quoted as saying, radio tours for most artists last 6 weeks. Mine lasted 6 months. That's because I wanted it to. I wanted to meet every single one of the people that were helping me out.
Okay.
Fair.
Go off, queen. I don't really
she needed
I don't,
to get herself on the radio. And
yeah.
In 2006, 2007, she opens for Rascal Flatts. And this is where the headset mic is introduced.
I want to know why the headset mic isn't in like a glass display case at the fucking whatever that thing is called, the Taylor Swift Experience thing.
Yes,
like I
not.
Want that on display.
I've been there and it's not, but it should
I want
be
that on display
because it's never made an appearance since
it's a
this
piece
era.
Of history. It just simply is.
I would love to see her. I'm kind of thinking like how she could do that again, but she never dances enough to really warrant having it around.
Right. She doesn't, I mean, she's always moving, but she's not, I mean, even Ariana Grande,
she's not a
I
dancer.
Mean, even she still carries her microphone. I mean, Britney Spears is a dancer.
She doesn't
so.
Sing, so she
oh,
has to be.
Oh, fuck.
I love her, but she hasn't sang live in like legitimately like 15 years. Anyway, we're really getting off track.
We really
here.
Are.
So February 19th, 2007, the second single. So keep in mind, that's a long time between singles. So Tim McGraw comes out in July of 06 and Teardrops comes out February 07.
Holy shit, that is a long fucking time. And I would say,
that's a long time. So I would say also this is most people's introduction to Taylor. People don't really remember Tim McGraw as their first Taylor song, but Teardrops, yes.
Yes, yep, yep, yep. I just feel like Teardrops was performed better. I mean, frankly, that's probably all it is. And it had that, like, factor of being, like, super, super, super relatable. Whether it was a country song or fucking not, people were into it. So, I mean, I don't know.
It was the best charting single from the debut on singles chart.
Even better than our song.
Our song did number one on the country charts, but Teardrops had, was number 13. General?
That's crazy.
Teardrops was number 13 on the general charts, which is insane.
So that, actually, I thought it was our song that was, like, her big, like, first country pop crossover. It was actually Teardrops? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was Teardrops. Teardrops kind of popped off.
Yeah, shit, okay.
And this is also where the beginning rumblings of Taylor not being a real country artist, which is something we had to put up with listening to for fucking years up until Red, this is where that starts. So people, critics were like, it's a great pop crossover song, but it's not strictly country.
And it's like, okay, my opinion on that, to me, and I think to most people that would hear it now, would be like, okay, that album is definitely country. But it's just because I feel like at the time when she was, like, coming in, country music comprised of, there were a lot of women, but they weren't necessarily women who were writing their own songs. I mean, we had Carrie Underwood.
And they weren't young. I mean, that's probably not a good thing to say, but they weren't, like, young teen girls.
No, they were, Taylor was kind of, like, the first, and after her, there were so fucking many, just, like, blonde girls with guitars that were trying to make it just like Taylor did. But it's like,
Oh, Kelsey Ballerini would love to have our song in her discography.
I'm sure she would die. It's just, like, it was mostly men. Like, it was totally male-dominated. And then women who didn't write their own songs, and, like, I'm not shading Reba McEntire. Yeah. Like, trust me, I'm not. But, like,
she's a queen,
but it's just, like, There was this specific niche that she was fitting into that country music hadn't seen for a long time. So I think it just kind of, like, made them uncomfortable. They're like, well, this isn't a man talking about girls in bikinis and trucks and dirt, so it's not really country music. And I was just like, you know what? Why do you hate women? That's the question I'm asking the Country Music Association, why do you hate women? To this day, I will ask you that question.
And you know what? We still need the answer to that question.
I'm begging for an answer.
Where is it?
The fact that Taylor was the first person to win Entertainer of the Year, the first woman to win Entertainer of the Year twice, and Kenny fucking Chesney has won it five times, it makes me want to fucking puke.
It just doesn't make sense. Taylor also brought a lot of relevancy to the genre and brought money and sales and drove general interest. So it
was good for everyone involved. Do you think people were listening to fucking country? I mean, of course they were. Some people were. But I'm talking about, like, the general populace. I lived in New York, and people were starting to listen to country music because of Taylor Swift. I mean,
She started a movement, TBH. Yeah. And all of these bands with hits, like, I'm thinking Need You Now, Lady Antebellum, Little Big Town with Girl Crush, Sugarland with whatever their songs are.
The band Perry.
Those hits wouldn't have been such crossover hits if Taylor hadn't have come
first. You know, when back in the day, like, if people wanted to have a country pop crossover, it's like they needed to add, like, think about Florida Georgia Line. They needed to have Nelly and do a remix of it for it to fucking make it on the pop charts. Taylor didn't have to do that. And, okay, to be fair, Carrie Underwood with Before He Cheats also did that. But that song is a fucking slap in the face. It is absolutely incredible. So it's like, okay, whatever, Carrie. But Taylor's the pioneer, in my opinion.
And also, Carrie, like, that was, looking back on her singles, etc., it is kind of an anomaly. Like, none of her other songs subsequently smashed that far, but with Taylor, it was like hit after hit after hit with country pop crossover.
Wait until we get into Fearless. I mean, come on, Love Story, and You Belong With Me. That, I mean,
the best.
Yeah,
come on, the girls just don't do it like that these days.
They don't do it.
But let's get into the Teardrops music video. What did you think about it?
This probably my favorite music video look from at least this era, if not maybe even not of all time, definitely top five, maybe even top three. The green dress and the gems, the bedazzled. On the face. I mean, she was so good.
The tear, the lone tear, fucking
pretty. It was just like almost ethereal, and her perfect corkscrew curls. Oh my god,
they were just this. This video goes so hard.
I love that music video a lot. I mean, if I could take out the dramatic being in high school hallway scenes, I would, and just have her in the bedroom crying in the green dress, I would do it. And speaking of, remember when she wore that green dress like to an award show?
To an award show. What was
that? As much as I love that dress, I feel like that was a mistake.
She also did that with an outfit from the Our Song music video. So this was just clearly, maybe the budget was small and they couldn't afford to get good outfits every time. So she had to recycle her look.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. But it's okay.
I mean, the look still pops off. But, you know, it would have been nice to reserve it for the video.
What's funny is that she wore the green dress, but she didn't do the gems. Listen, girl, if you're going to do the look, then you have to have the gems.
Go for it.
But she didn't go for it.
And the gems are really so
They
iconic.
Really are.
Like, they were so good. Yeah. So good. And she has, like, the green eyeshadow. Yes. It's just a look. It really is really a look. Beautiful. So, also, we get the beginning of Taylor's horrendous acting career in this video.
Oh, my God.
She does a little dialogue.
Dude, honestly, in my personal opinion, this is, like, her best acting work. Which says a lot.
I mean, it says a lot because there's been a fair bit of it. So we know from this experience that Taylor is not an actress. She never has been. She never will be, no matter how hard she's trying.
What really gets me is the White Horse music video. But I'm not even.
The dialogue in the middle of the song. I'm not even going to start with that. No, but Teardrops is where we get some acting.
Yep, acting.
And we also get Drew Hardwick, who's sponsoring the podcast. he was introduced to us, and we've never been the same since. So basically the story goes, Taylor had a crush on him, and he always used to talk to her about his girlfriend. And she pretended she was okay with it, but really there were teardrops on her guitar.
Every time
and
she would go home.
Years later... Then he appears at her house and she rejects him. Do we believe that happened?
So, okay, that is something that has never come from her mouth, right?
Oh, really?
Wait a second.
She never directly said that he showed up a few years later. I'm asking,
it's been so long and it's such a legend that I can't remember if it's like real or if it's just something that people have said, but...
No, it's real. I think in Journey to Fearless, while she's talking about teardrops, she says this.
On camera? Oh, shit. Yeah, she says it. Okay, I think you're right. I remember that.
I think also it's hard to remember when Taylor was this savage and this open about stuff, but she was.
It's like thinking about...
She did. She did go there.
It's like thinking about when she was that savage about Joe.
No, please, I can't. I really can't think about that. On Ellen, I really just don't want to talk about it.
It's hard to watch.
That was
it.
Such.
It was hard
it
to
was,
watch.
And then on the SNL
and
monologue,
then in that
like,
music video,
up,
in
girl?
That video she made, like, remember when she used to do vlogs and she had like the Joe
Jonas
dolls?
Oh my god, with
dolls.
Ugh. Taylor, why? Why?
Humiliating.
It really was humiliating. But this is when Taylor learned that talking about her exes publicly would help give her publicity and sell her
she
music.
She sold that fucking album like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, she did. She did. And it sold. She did a good job.
Wrong.
So that was the video and the whole, you know, experience with teardrops. We love it. It was nominated for a VMA for Best New Artist. And I would like you to guess who she lost to.
Me? Miranda Lambert? Who?
Mm-mm. Tokyo Hotel.
Oh my god! Fuck.
So Tokyo Hotel wins Best New Artist at the VMAs over Taylor Swift and Teardrops on My Guitar.
It really makes you think about what the world was like in 2007. It was a dark fucking place.
Terrible. People had no
taste.
They
had no taste.
And if you look at Taylor's outfits, she didn't really have any taste either.
The ones that you picked, the pictures that you picked, I was like, I know he's fucking playing. I know that he's playing me right now.
I was picking the ugliest ones, let's be honest.
She had some outfits that fucking slapped. She did, but it's like sometimes it was obvious that she didn't have a stylist. It was just so clear.
Oh, no. She definitely... Taylor was her own and stylist during this era.
She thought that she was serving us all the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time. You could see on the red carpets, she just had this look in her eye.
I'm looking good tonight, guys. And it's just like, oh, that the one that you showed me was like the fucking multiple print dress and the gold cowboy boots that look like she got them at Walmart and those fucking hoop
and the tiny
earrings.
Bag.
Oh, God. Not to mention that.
And the white dress. The white dress with the pom poms
so
on the heels.
The white dress is so bad.
Not good. Just not good. So then she goes on tour with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, which is amazing. That is incredible that she did that in her first kind of year of her career. Then on May 15th of 2007, we get Taylor singing Tim McGraw to Tim McGraw.
Yes. Oh man, she kind of
that was fucking weird.
She kind of blew.
That was really weird.
If I remember correctly, she get that performance kind of.
Yep, that was.
She
not
got
a
nervous.
Good
she got nervous.
She got nervous. And also, this is the thing with Taylor in award shows that we will talk about in later years. She gets really nervous, and her vocals suffer because of it.
So her award show performances, and it, like, fucking kills me, her award show performances are some of her worst. Not every time, which is strange. Sometimes she's more nervous than others, which I don't understand. Her Grammys performances, aside from Mean, are fucking awful. They're bad.
Really? I thought Out of the Woods was not,
oh,
was not
oh,
too bad.
Oh, that one. I forgot about that one. That, of course. But, like, fucking... When
that
she did
slaps.
Rhiannon and Today Was a Fairy Tale with Stevie Nicks,
oh,
that was
that, oh, that's a whole
unbelievably
thing. That
awful. And not even to mention when she did 15 with Miley Cyrus.
What was that? Why? Also, when you're sitting there and Miley Cyrus outsings you, like, on your own song, girl,
that is right.
don't try it. So she sings Tim McGraw to Tim McGraw, which is weird, and Taylor... is weird about Tim McGraw, obviously. Yes. And Tim McGraw didn't know the words then, and he still doesn't know the words now.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Because he came out to sing this with her, and he didn't know any of the fucking words.
That's so embarrassing. So this whole thing was just a complete nightmare. And they really televised this. They put it on television.
I'm talking about when he came back for the Reputation tour and came out and didn't know any of the fucking words.
That happened?
Oh my God, where have you been? Ever since you got a boyfriend,
yeah,
you
I know.
Checked
I
out.
Know. No, not ever since. Just like for the first like 6 or 7 months since I met my boyfriend, I was like,
you've been
I was,
like bye.
Gone. But okay, so now I know that Tim
you
McGraw
know that Faith Hill. Faith Hill and Tim McGraw came out, and
no!
when I say they didn't know any of the words, they knew none of the words, like nothing. Tim McGraw was like, Tim McGraw, favorite song. It was so
bad. Oh no, that's so embarrassing. And it's like, dude, Taylor fucking Swift, yes, Taylor Swift is not just the young girl that wrote a song about one of your songs back in the day. Now she's Taylor fucking Swift, and you're not going to prepare. You're not going to sit down with your wife and listen to the song
just
a few times.
Just listen to the song. Like, just listen to it. God, that was, you have to watch that video.
I'm going
really
to. I fucking will. That's on my list.
So September 9th, 2007. So she tours with Tim McGraw throughout the summer. So September 9th, the third single, Our Song, comes out with the music video.
Yes.
She's the youngest artist to hit number one on the country charts with a self-written song, legend. And she wrote it for her ninth grade talent show.
Also legend.
Absolutely. Completely legendary. The video is so good. The aesthetics of that video, one of my favorites.
Yes, the aesthetics of the video are so cute. Okay, let's talk about her straight hair, because that was the first time
that
she
blowout.
Came the fuck out with that straight hair. And I remember watching the video and being like, who? Girl, who?
Who is that?
the purple dress.
Know. And she has like the pink, she has the pink gloss,
oh my
and
God.
She's painting
she
her nails, and she's
like
on her phone.
Barbie. I thought she was, like, the prettiest person that ever lived.
Yeah, and then she comes out in that corseted dress. Oh, so cute. Sits on the porch.
I mean, that really... Where are the videos like that? What happened to those?
Where are they?
Just want to sit there and experience cute once more. But I can't. I'm not allowed to. They won't give it to me. I have to watch Joseph Kahn videos for the rest of my fucking life. So, okay, I was just about to, like, go the fuck off about Reputation videos, and I'm like, all right, we're not doing that today. Well, there's a time and a place.
On September something, 2007, she has her first CMA Fest performance, and I will insert an audio clip here because one of our favorite memes came around. She goes,
I can't believe it, y'all. Yeah!
I think that now is the time when we talk about her fake country accent and her fake religious beliefs.
Okay. Here's my thing is that I 100,000% believe that she faked that accent because, and this is why, mm-hmm. It's because, so it's super, super there on the first album. Not really there in Fearless. But then when she did,
not in her
does mean on the Speak Now album, it's back for no reason. It's almost like either it's fake or there's a switch in her brain and she's like schizophrenic and sometimes it just like turns on.
I'm a country music artist now.
I mean, which is it going to be? Probably that it's fake. So
I mean, it's fake. And here's my theory on it is that Taylor grew up in Pennsylvania. Let's not forget. There are no yeehaw, I can't believe it, y'alls around there. She moved to Nashville when she was like 14 or 13, right? Or a little bit younger, maybe. But after her, you know, lingo and accent had already developed.
Lingo.
So she decides that she's going to become a country artist because she loves country music. And she's like, okay, well, there are two things that I need to be a successful country artist. I need to say y'all all the time. And I need to thank God profusely.
I believe that Andrea and Scott Swift are white Christian people. Like, totally. Yeah, they believe in God. Could be. Do I believe that she was going to fucking church on Sundays? No.
No.
I do not. She was a cafeteria Christian at best. And for those of you who don't know, cafeteria Christian, this is what they used to say when I went to school, to Catholic school specifically, is when you would just go and, like, you would pick out stuff that you choose that you want to believe, which is ironic. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just about to go off about how ironic that is. But yeah, I mean, just like, oh, I'm going to thank God for this because it's the country thing to do. And her fucking, the Virgin Mary cowboy boots.
Oh God, why? I ask you why.
I'm actually fairly certain that the first time that she said people haven't always been there for me, but music always has, is a performance of The Outside in which she is wearing the Virgin Mary boots.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's another quote, iconic quote that we get. People haven't always been there for me, but music always has.
I have that.
Which has completely lost all of its meaning to me because no one ever stops saying it.
I have it actually on my mirror and my vanity. So it's, I mean.
She's not wrong. She made points. She definitely made points, but I'm kind of just sick of seeing people caption their Instagrams with that. Like, it's been many years. We need to move on.
Yeah. She's got a lot of quotes. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, there are many. There really are a lot. The ones from Fearless get especially questionable, but we'll get into that.
Yes, we shall.
But yeah, so fake country accent and wavering belief in God. He is never mentioned after the Fearless era at the earliest.
Is he? Is he mentioned on Fearless?
God. Also, do you really think that Taylor was going home every night and saying amen, asking God to play it again? Do you think that happened?
Do I think she used to pray before going to sleep every night? No, I do not. I do not believe that even a little fucking bit. Because not even the kids that I went to fucking school with in fucking Yeehaw country, in the deep, deep Catholic religion, like, did not pray before going to sleep. So I really doubt that Taylor did.
It's a lie. It's just a lie. Well, and you know what? It's fine.
It rhymed. It sounded good.
It fit into the song. Yeah. It fit into the song. And honestly, the song would be not as cute if it wasn't there.
Yeah,
so
I mean, let's be real.
We respect that. But, you know, I also think another point that Taylor was not as virginal and holy and innocent as we thought she was. And I think that our evidence goes back to her MySpace posts. She was fine with swearing. I bet she had a drink here and there. I don't think she got drunk or was like a party girl, but she definitely had like a warm beer in a pickup truck.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And I, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she'd taken a hit of the weed.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if she smoked that Mary Jane a couple of times in the girl's bathroom. Why not?
I wouldn't be surprised. The one thing I do think she's never done, I don't think she's ever smoked a cigarette. I believe that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some people, like, I mean, there's people who are, like, fucking gang people who have never smoked a cigarette. It's just, like, you can tell when, I'm not, actually, I should say you can't tell when somebody's a smoker or not. But I gotta tell you, I just don't think she has. I don't know. Nope.
And also
because
of her voice, I think she's a very paranoid person. I don't think she would, like, willingly smoke a cigarette. Like, I think she'd definitely try some weed, but I don't think she'd smoke a cigarette. Anyway.
Oh, no.
This has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, really.
So October 14th, 2007, Sounds of the Season, the holiday EP.
Yeah!
And the cover art is basically a still from the Teardrops video.
Right, it's like they didn't, you know, would it have been so fucking hard?
To put a Santa hat on her at least. Like, just Photoshop that in.
I know, like, anything. It's not even, okay, she's wearing green, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's all. With her guitar.
Yeah,
so please. So after this comes out, actually, let's do the album first. So this album, I don't know what to say about it. Like, it exists. It's there. It made 1 or 2 points.
Here's the two songs that I listen to off of Saturday.
Should we go
every
through
Christmas.
The track? Should we go through the track list?
Yes, okay.
Okay, so the first one is Last Christmas.
Yes, banger.
That's
banger,
good. Banger. That's great. Yep. I play it every year.
Love it.
And my parents
every year
want to murder
my,
me.
That's my go-to.
My parents hate it. I play it and they're like, this is trash. Get it off of our like sound system. And I'm like, no, it's great. They're no, like,
we're
hate
listening
country
to
music.
It, bitch.
It sucks. Then we get another Liz Rose co-write because she's a fucking legend. And we get Christmas Is When You Were Mine.
Yes. Uh-huh. Very,
which
very
is
good.
An amazing song, genuinely. Like, the depth, the subtlety,
yep, it's
the
very
sentiment.
Cute.
It's like
so
a novel
good.
Christmas song. I feel like it's hard
it really
to write
is.
A Christmas song that's original, and this is really good.
Yeah, and it's, like, sad as shit.
It's really sad.
Yeah, so it's, like, it's not like, I'm going to listen to Christmas music, let me put on Christmas When You Were Mine, but
it's like, for that
good.
Time.
Yeah.
It's good. Then we have Santa Baby.
I don't really want to discuss this much at all because not only do I hate that song anyway, no
it's
matter
creepy.
Who's fucking doing it, but also I hate it. I don't know what else to say.
It's the worst. It's like there isn't much to say other than like if you never listen to this song along with another one on this album, you're fine.
Yeah.
So then we have Silent Night, which is good.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Yeah, it's very pretty. I like the production on it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would love to hear her re-record this.
Yeah, me too. With her like more experienced vocals, I think it would be really good.
Same production because the production is good, but just like an updated vocal moment. Then we have Christmas Must Be Something More. Okay. well, you see,
I just have to say, there are so many Taylor Swift songs out there. Unreleased, released, what have you. Here's to the Birthday Boy Who Saved Our Lives is the worst fucking lyric she has ever forced my ears to hear.
This also proves to me that she's not religious. Like, she pulled that out of her ass. She was like, what's something religious people would say?
Here's to the Birthday Boy Who Saved Our Lives. I just want everybody to reflect on that and ruminate on that and think about it.
It's horrible.
Awful. It's shocking.
It's one of her worst. Genuinely, yeah. It is one of her worst.
I can't even tell you, like, other... Oh, I can! What if ribbons and bows didn't mean a thing?
What is that?
That's a lyric from the song.
Oh my god,
what
I never listened to it. I only know the
ribbons
baby
and
part.
Bows didn't mean a thing, Zach. Tell me what if. I
what
don't
would
know.
That mean? What a good question, Taylor.
I don't know.
She's provoking a debate here.
She is.
It's so meaningful.
It's something holy, not superficial.
Oh my god, I can't with her. Like, honestly, this song, like, don't listen to it. If you've never heard it, don't do it.
Are there co-writers on that?
Nope, she wrote it by herself.
No!
She wrote this alone.
There's nobody else we can blame it on.
It's just her. And this is the only song on the album that is just her.
That's literally humiliating.
I wish someone had been there and been like, you know, Taylor, like, this one just isn't good. This one just sucks so bad.
Oh, shit.
And then we close.
I would have honestly taken, like, any other cover song over that shit.
Why? We don't need that. Like, we have Christmases When You Were Mine. I'm happy with that. It's great.
Yeah.
Christmas must be something more. Like, get that away from me. And then we close out the album with White Christmas. Forgettable.
I don't even have an opinion about that. Like, it's cute. It's fine.
I just think this whole holiday EP was just not necessary.
Well, okay. I personally love a celebrity Christmas album. Just a Christmas album. But I wish that I just feel like the curated songs, like, she could have picked better ones. I mean, Silent Night and Last Christmas were good, but Santa Baby and Last Christmas, I mean, White Christmas are just, who cares?
Stupid. Yeah.
It's dumb. Like, you could have done, you know, Oh Holy Night, which is a great fucking Christmas song.
Yeah, that's
good. Oh Come, Oh Come, Emmanuel, I don't know, just another one. I think she should do another one. I want another Christmas album from Taylor Swift. And for the amount of times that she says, pretends maybe, that she loves Christmas and she won't give us another Christmas album, it's suspicious.
It is suspicious. If you really love Christmas, if you love that album,
you will give
so
us
much,
another album.
Or do a single, like just one Christmas single.
I would bop to that. Meanwhile, Ariana Grande, every fucking year.
Oh, yeah, she snaps.
Yeah.
Santa Tell Me, so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would say for me, the highlight from this album is Christmas Is When You Were Mine.
Yes.
And out of 10, I would give this a 5.
The album?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'd give it like a 4.
Oh, okay, I'm being generous. That never happened.
That really surprises me.
So this comes out, flies under the radar mostly, I would say. She does a couple performances from the album.
She did a Christmas When You Were Mine, which was really cute.
It's the only live performance. That was on Christmas Day. Girl Needs to Get a Life. That was on Christmas Day on the Today Show.
Really?
And yeah, it was really good. It was live too, so she was there. And then she did Silent Night at the Rockefeller tree lighting, which was good. That's cute.
Yeah, that's cute.
And then so backpedaling a little bit. November 7th, she wins the Horizon Award at the CMAs. This is her first big award show win.
Yeah.
And she performs our song with a headset mic on a stage shaped like a flower.
Oh my god. I actually, okay, you're telling me this.
What was
and
that?
And I remember like being like in my living room sitting on the floor watching it and like, oh yeah, I'm so excited. I'm watching Taylor Swift. I think it was like one of the first live performances I actually watched from her. Or maybe, like, the first. And, like, I was sitting there. I was like, yeah, watching it. And I was like, this is bad.
This is really bad.
But wasn't that the introduction of the Sparkle guitar? Or was that? Yes.
The Our Song video and then that performance. So yes. we have these things to thank for the iconic Sparkle guitar.
Yep. But
which I think she's destroyed. I think she's smashed it up and, like, thrown it away. Like, she never uses it.
Come back, buddy.
Please come back.
What she's really fucking destroyed is her koi fish guitar, which needs to rise
that's
again.
Gone. She's like cut all the strings off. That was objectively her best guitar.
Yeah.
The koi guitar is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that performance, again, we've said with her award show vocals, they're almost never good.
I think they're either, okay, this is a roast. I think they're either like
passable or bad,
or they're good. Like, it's never like, oh my god, she did amazing.
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, she did good, or she did bad.
So, our song was just, like, obviously a good song to perform at an awards show, gets the house on their feet.
Yeah, Miranda Lambert was after her, and she fucking vocalized the shit out of everybody, and I was, like, embarrassed. I was like, oh my god.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, she performed after Taylor, I forgot that.
Yeah.
But Taylor, she just, I don't know. She needed vocal training around this stage. Her vocals were not strong. Her writing was great. Her charisma is good, but the vocals around this time are just not polished, I guess.
Yeah.
But she wins the Horizon Award, which she's nominated against her BFF, Kelly Pickler.
Right. And who was her BFF back then?
She's also nominated against Little Big Town, who she'd later give a song to. And the first thing, guess what the first thing that she thanks in her speech is?
Is it God?
Yes, it's God. She goes, thank you, God. She gets really emotional and she starts crying when she talks about the fans, which is really cute. Yes. We love that.
We love that a lot.
And we get the iconic, this is definitely the highlight of my senior year.
Yes. Yes.
So cute. And Scott and Andrea love that too. They go wild.
They go absolutely insane.
And this is the, I would say, the beginning of the surprised face.
Yes. I can't like, I don't remember it, but I believe it when you say it.
If you watch the video, she does the hands on the side of her face, mouth wide open. I can't believe I won.
I can't believe it.
And I think this was the I think this was the first and last time she was genuinely surprised.
Really? You think that was the last time she was genuinely surprised?
Okay, I think maybe she was surprised by the 2010 album of the year. She might have been surprised by that. But she was not surprised for 1989. She was not surprised. Actually, she was surprised when she didn't win for Red.
Oh, that, my God.
That was a surprise to her.
That is dark times. That is
those
dark
are dark
shit
times.
You just said.
I would say a great award show appearance for her profile.
Yes. Yep.
Definitely put her on the map.
Cute dress she wore.
Cute dress.
Yeah.
Very her at the time. Yeah. Corset dress, right? Kind of like pale.
It was like pale, and it had like a ribbon around the waist.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
So now we get into some miscellaneous things, so we can talk about Permanent Marker.
Yes, my bop!
Which Madeline notes as the undiscovered supermodel of early Taylor anti-feminist
bops. It fucking
bops.
Is the undiscovered supermodel. It fucking is. She tried so hard to make that a hit, and it just like wasn't working.
It didn't
working.
Work.
But
yeah,
you know
it
what?
It didn't take off.
X is the fucking shape.
Of, yeah, it is.
X is
the shape.
Fucking shape. I drew through your face.
Through your face. Yeah, it is. And that's savage. She's being savage in this song.
She attacked. Do I think that feminism was present? No, but it wasn't present anywhere in 2007. So why?
That's
so,
true.
You know what? Permanent Marker is a song of its time. And it fucking
is.
Slaps.
And it makes its points and it says what it needs
it
to say.
It says what it needs to say. Yes, exactly.
It is. I do think it is similar in tone to Picture to Burn.
In tone, yeah, I would say. Pettiness level.
Yeah, pettiness, vindictive Taylor level.
Yep.
Quite strong.
The start of the snake. The start of the snake.
Oh, the start of the snake for sure.
Yeah.
And then we get some actually great covers from this era. We get Irreplaceable and Umbrella, which I think are two of her best covers.
And also when she did Lose Yourself, I think.
Oh, that
a
was
bunch
really
of times.
Good.
Yeah, that was fun. She used to do... Just do good covers.
If Taylor were to cover Beyonce today, she would be dragged across the world.
Yeah. And
she
especially
couldn't do
like,
that now.
Considering like Beyonce's subject matter these days, like her music is so I don't even know the exact word that I want to
politically
use.
Politically charged?
Not even just politically charged, but like she's not making songs like Irreplaceable anymore.
No,
you know, she's not making pop hits. I mean,
and Taylor tends to ignore songs that aren't pop hits.
The only way that I
songs.
Personally think she could get away with it is if she had Beyonce come out with her.
Oh, yes. That's the only time it would be acceptable. I think it would break the internet if they
oh my God.
Came
I
out together
even,
and did a
I
song.
I couldn't even imagine.
But I would that ugh, I just think there would be so much backlash as well. There would be like comparisons about how Beyonce was like showing Taylor up. Like it's just not good for us. But in a dream world where people aren't assholes, it would be great.
Yep. In a dream world.
Also, she changed the lyric in Irreplaceable where it goes, rolling her around in the car that I bought you. Do you have a guess as to what she changed it to?
Rolling her around in the truck that I bought you?
Yep. That's it. That's what it is.
I forgot about that, but I took a guess and I was right because she was embarrassing.
Yes. And she, like, she also, again, thinks she's fucking serving when she says that. She, like, stops the guitar. She's like, in the truck that I bought you. And you can see people in the audience being like, what?
Oh, shit. It's too fucking much for me.
Do you think we dragged her too much?
I really don't think that we did. Honestly, you know what? I think that people have, like, a lot of opinions that they just don't say because they want to be, like, up somebody's ass. Like, not even Taylor's or Taylor Nation's. It's just like they just don't want to stir the pot. It's like, well, I don't really care about stirring the pot, but I have an opinion. I have a thought. I'm a stan.
I have something to say.
I am a fucking stan. And when you're a stan, you have a lot of fucking opinions. Like,
that's true.
There's nobody on the face of the planet that likes every single fucking Taylor Swift song. And it's anybody who says there's not such a thing as a bad Taylor Swift song
is listen to lying. Christmas Must Be Something More. Listen to Christmas Must Be Something More and tell me that that is not a bad song. I just can't. I mean, also, we're stans. We're like long time stans. So right. I feel like we have earned our place to say these things because it comes from a place of such great love.
It really does. This is like the kind of shit that I would tell my best friend. I'd be like, girl, Christmas Must Be Something More sucks. Get something else.
Exactly. If she played that for me, if she played that at the secret sessions, I would have been like, Taylor, can you come up with something better than that?
Can you imagine, like, when you were at your secret session, were you sitting on the floor? Just, like, imagine you, like, on the floor, just, like, putting your hand up, being like, girl.
Excuse me. Can I say something?
There's gotta be something else.
Me, when King of My Heart came on, honestly, can you come up with something else?
Honestly, I kind of think that one's a bop, but I guess we can get into that at another date.
Yeah, no.
Get into that at another time.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
But, yeah, so basically, also, we would like to make the point to all of you listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed it so far because we're just talking shit, really. That's what we're doing. But could you all please, please, for the love of Taylor Swift's God that she believes in, don't tell Taylor Nation or Taylor Swift about this. Like, I know people like to at Taylor Nation and at Taylor in stuff they think is, like, cool that fans are doing. This is not one of those things. So please don't do that.
I mean, we're not even really saying anything that bad, but apparently
You're not allowed to have an opinion.
I'm fucking blacklisted. I haven't even done anything.
No, you are not allowed to have an opinion when you're when you're trying to get up Taylor Nation's ass. It's just not allowed. Oh. So we'll definitely get into Taylor Nation and
That's gonna be so juicy.
It's gonna be so juicy.
Oh, during this era, they didn't even exist.
No, they didn't. There was nothing.
Which is funny to think about, isn't it?
She didn't even have a stylist, so she was not about to be hiring someone to do her thing.
She certainly didn't have a fan club yet.
So we have one more thing to talk about, Madeline, which I'm going to let you take the reins on. The heart foot.
Oh, shit. I kept thinking, like, what was it that I added to, like, to Google Doc? And I just remembered it. Yeah.
That's it.
So, and actually today I remembered that it's also on the CD, like the physical CD. It's on the debut CD.
It's drawn on there.
Her foot with a heart on it.
What is up with her? Who is she? Anyway, explain
this. So she used to draw with Sharpie a heart on her foot. It was like the 13 before the 13 was a thing. It was just like a heart. Kind of like right at the junction between like that bone and her big toe, you know? just a heart.
It existed.
I don't get it.
It was there.
But she did it. She did it for the album shoot, I guess. I think it's also in that picture on the back of her stepping into the water. She's like pushing her foot out to step in and putting the heart on her foot on display for some fucking reason. She wore it on red carpets.
Oh, yeah.
At many award shows, she had the heart foot in full display.
Mm-hmm.
And
she did
people believed, and I'm not kidding, that this was a tattoo that she had. She had, if you Google Taylor Swift heart foot, and you will find tattoo inspiration. And it's a picture of Taylor Swift's foot from 2007.
Did you think it was a tattoo at the time?
No, I knew it was Sharpie. I knew it.
Anyone who thinks that Taylor would ever get a tattoo, like, doesn't know her.
There was a Swift secret that said, or no, it was like a, it was probably like just little Taylor Swift things or something like that on Tumblr. And it was like number 41, her heart tattoo. And it's like, it's not a tattoo.
It's not. Literally she just a drew Sharpie. It on.
It's a Sharpie.
I mean, the motives behind this are just so unclear.
She really thought she was serving. And to be honest with you, at the time, if I'm going to drag her, I'll drag myself. I thought she was serving too because I fucking put the heart on my foot. Mm. I did a lot of shit. I put I heart question mark on the back of my hand.
Oh, I did that every day. Every single day. It was I heart fucking question mark. And people would be like, what is that?
Be like, oh, it's, you wouldn't get it.
Exactly. I actually wouldn't even, I wouldn't even say it was a Taylor song. I'd be like, you wouldn't understand.
You just wouldn't fucking get
well,
it.
Well, like, also no one understands that because it doesn't make any sense. Still
well, I understand that she's like, oh, I just broke up with you. So I'm gonna like I heart question mark so you don't know who I like, but it's like you're gonna write I heart question mark on the back of your hand and you think some boy is gonna be like
look at it and be like
heartbroken.
What does
like,
that mean?
Oh my god, I heart question mark.
Who could it be?
But that is a bop.
Yeah, so we'll get into that with Beautiful Eyes, yes, which is next year. So yes, for your anticipation, for you who are listening that want to tune in again. The next episode is going to be 2008, which is a mammoth year because Taylor puts out two more singles from the debut, Should Have Said No, yes, and Picture to Burn. And she then begins her relationship with Joe Jonas.
Iconic.
Iconic.
Classic.
We can't express to you how profound of an impact this stupid little relationship had on Taylor Swift in her career. Honestly, really, it was astounding. And then Fearless came out, so we have a lot to go through next year.
Yes, yes.
And putting this together already was kind of a fucking nightmare, so
yeah.
I don't know how we're gonna do it, but thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes, thank you. Yes,
we hope that you enjoyed it. Where can we follow you, Madeline?
At Swift Chalamet until I think of a better handle. Thank you.
And y'all can follow me at Reputations with three S's.
Like because a snake hissing.
Exactly. I didn't know if anyone understood my extremely
like
niche
everybody
reference.
Gets it. I feel like everybody gets that, right?
Oh my god, I hope so. I mean, yeah. if you've made it to this point, at me and tell me if you understand my username. So at T Swift Podcast is where you'll find all the updates about when things are coming, what's coming. If you want to request anything, we'd love to
hear
from
request.
You.
Oh, that'd be fun. Okay,
yeah, that would cool. be fun. We could do like an episode on like the secret sessions as a concept.
Oh, shit. God, there are so many different episodes that we could do.
Exactly. That's why it's gonna be great. So if you guys ever get bored of the year thing, we're definitely gonna do all the years, but if you get bored and maybe we get bored and need a episode off, we can do something cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Yes. Good day.
Good day, sirs.
Good day, sirs.